This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We are with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And we are pleased to welcome to the show, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com, covering what's going on in sports, sports gearing up in the state of Tennessee. And Joe, we appreciate the time as always. There was the report from Adam Schefter this morning that a long-term deal is not expected to be found between Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. Thoughts from that news, what it means for this year and for the future with the Titans and their star running back?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't, you know, for people following Adam Schefter, typically, you know, the sourcing on Adam Schefter reports would be on the player/agent side of things. You know, I've tried to figure some things out today, and I would say right now, don't close the door. Nothing's over yet. I mean, to me, this clearly expresses pessimism on the Henry side that the Titans are, you know, are going to come close to or up to what that side wants. Doesn't mean that, you know, that couldn't happen by the end of business tomorrow, but it doesn't look good. And if that's the case, I'm sure the pandemic would be partly to blame. You don't know where the cap is going in the near term, and that, I think, has complicated a lot of long-term negotiations. But also, I think it would be a real shame. It would be unfair to Derrick Henry to play on a tag because, as we've discussed before, you know, you get tagged at some positions in the NFL, and you know at least you're making really good salary for a year, but the running back tag of 10-3 is ridiculously low. Not only not having that security, but Derrick Henry should be making a lot more than $10.3 million this year, considering what he is to this team.
When you look at how running backs are just used now in the NFL and the fact that some franchises recently, like the Rams, got into trouble paying running backs a high price tag, do you think franchises, and specifically the Titans, are more willing to take a flyer on someone in the upcoming draft than to overpay for past performance?
Yeah, and I understand all that about running backs, and certainly you mentioned Gurley, Heather. I mean, you know, Devontae Freeman is another one. David Johnson is another one. There's been a rash here of big contracts for running backs that have ended up, you know, being big mistakes. And in all those cases, especially with Gurley and Johnson, but really in all three of those, you know, serious and multiple injuries have been involved. I mean, Gurley, of course, as everyone knows, had serious knee stuff, overcame it, and, you know, eventually it came back. But, you know, to me, it's just that you still have to look at each player individually, and I think Derrick Henry gets unfairly lumped in that. Into that category. I understand, you know, it's been a long time now that running back is the shortest shelf life in the NFL. That's something that's been the case for a long time. A lot of guys are in for a year or two and out, and that's how it goes. But there are exceptions. And if you look at Derrick Henry's durability, I think you have to take that into account. He had a hamstring last year, sat out one game, came out and did something in the playoffs no one's ever done before. And if you look at his uniqueness and his importance to this team, I think the idea, yeah, let's go draft another running back, is ridiculous. I mean, there's never been a player exactly like him. And again, he dominated two playoff games, got this team to, you know, within a good half of football of the Super Bowl. So it bothers me that I think that stuff is used against him too much. And then look, if the Titans tag him and they could tag him again next year, and then you're going to end up paying him about $22.5 million, I believe, if you do the two tags. But think about, you know, his mindset and his happiness in your organization. If you'd give him a long-term deal that say had $25 million guaranteed, it wouldn't be that much difference in what you know you're paying him, but you'd still give him that security and that, you know, that different mindset that, you know, that he's not getting screwed over.
Joe Rexroad, TheAthletic.com. What do fans think when this type of subject comes up?
From what I've been able to gather, I think there's a very strong fan leaning toward please sign him long term. And again, like, I understand if anybody wants to say, hey, how could you really be sure that this guy has more than a year or two left at this level of performance? And again, I understand that. That's why, to me, a long-term deal, like a four-year deal, you know, the Titans made a deal with Ryan Tannehill that they can get out of that after 2 years and paying him $60 million. And that's exactly what you would do with Derrick Henry. You would, I think you can feel really good right now that he has two good years left in him. And after that, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he had more than that, but you protect yourself and you know, you can get out of it after 2 years. No, I think look, he is by far the most popular player. He is the face of the franchise. Titans fans love him. There are a lot of Titans fans here who are also Alabama fans. So I would say it's overwhelmingly in support of signing him. I mean he's going to make less than, you know, a lot of players on his team. He's making, a couple hundred thousand more than Adam Humphries this year now, making a third of what Ryan Tannehill's making. And I understand quarterback in the NFL, it's a different deal. But it's just, you know, again, tagged at running back is just a much worse deal than most other positions.
Well, and it doesn't bode well for the future because situations like this, Derrick Henry, all the success he had in college, all the success he's had in the NFL, deserves to make a lot of money. And the domino effect is guys like Quaveris Crouch will not play running back because they want to make more money. And selfishly, I still want to see Crouch run the ball for the Vols right down the road. But that's me, again, being selfish.
No, you know what? That's a great point, though, Heather. I was looking back over something I wrote a couple months ago, you know, about this, and I had something in there about, you know, Nick Saban. I mean, he looked at Derrick Henry and said, this guy could be an unbelievable linebacker. Okay, I mean, I get it, you know. Actually, Nick Saban, long ago, had a guy named T.J. Duckett at Michigan State, wanted to make him a linebacker. In both cases, as a football fan, I'm glad those guys played running back because it was so much fun to watch T.J. Duckett, and it's so fun to watch Derrick Henry now, and we're gonna get robbed of some guys who would be amazing at that position, and I don't blame them because, frankly, you can go be a good outside linebacker in the NFL and have more financial security than being a top three running back in the NFL, which is crazy. But, yeah, I mean, for our enjoyment purposes, this is not good.
Joe Rexroad is with us from The Athletic. All right, the weekly Joe Rexroad optimism meter check-in for college football this fall. Where do we stand, Joe?
I mean, it's plummeting. I'm not going to lie.
I know.
I'm not where some people are now, which is like there's zero chance. Forget about it. Move on. You know, I'm gonna have to say I'm about 25-75 on college football in the fall. I think that, you know, look, if there was certainty or even really strong confidence about a vaccine ready by the beginning of the year, then I think it would be less, because then I think it would just make sense to just, look, figure it out. You got all this time, figure out how to do everything, testing, all that stuff, and now you get to have a season and have fans in the stands, you know, in theory, with a vaccine. But the problem is you don't have that certainty right now. There's encouraging signs out there on a vaccine and a couple different companies that are going fast. I mean, this is the scientific community has been solely focused basically on this virus for months now in the world. But without that, the problem is if you decide to kick it to the spring, you might be just punting altogether. And that would be obviously disastrous financially in a lot of ways. Nothing's more disastrous than loss of life or, you know, permanent effects of the virus, which a lot of people want to ignore, but there's a lot of evidence that there is some for some people who get it. But I still think that they're going to go to the last possible day with this, the last second of the last day before they have to do something. I do think that it makes sense for the SEC, you know, to eventually follow suit. Maybe the Big Ten did it too early, but I think the conference-only thing gives you the uniformity of testing, and it gives you more time, potentially. Okay, so now can you push it back so that maybe camp starts in mid to late August, the season starts around October 1, can the numbers overall go down enough by then to make it possible? I mean, I think it's worth trying, but look, the bottom line is, no matter what people think about it, what's happening in our country with the virus is on the verge of costing us college football.
Do you think that what, like, okay, if I give you 8, 10, or 12, what's the likelihood of the amount of games that we see for the average team that plays football this season?
I'd go about 8, and I think, and that is also just assuming that if we actually get going into a season and feel good enough about, and whatever that means with students on campus, I don't know, but if we actually can get going with the season, you still know that there are going to be situations where a team has an outbreak and has to forfeit a game and has to quarantine. I mean, that's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at all the problems with the bubbles with the professional teams right now. In soccer, we've seen it. National SC gets sent home. NBA, you know, somebody goes outside the bubble to get some food, and now you're in trouble. I mean, you know, the bubbles are hard enough with pros who have a lot riding on. You think about the non-bubble situation in college. I mean, I don't care what you know. I think a lot of these guys, I'm sure, are being as cautious as possible. I feel terrible for these college football players who've been busting their butts and are trying to make this happen, and they're looking around and seeing other people not wearing a mask and not caring. But it's still hard to believe that you would have, during the course of a fall, you would be able to avoid situations where some of these guys go to bars, go to parties, you know, have some hand in outbreaks. So, yeah, that's a long way of saying I would lean toward the lesser number there.
Joe Rexroad, read his work, theathletic.com, continuing to follow Titans news, NHL getting started back up here in a few weeks, and, of course, the fingers remain crossed on what will happen with college football this fall. The Athletic is where you can read his work. Follow him on Twitter, at Joe Rexroad. Joe, we appreciate the time, as always. Anything to plug before we let you go?
I'm going to be writing about Derrick Henry tomorrow, so probably another angry column for me, so check it out.
There you go. All right, rage out with Joe tomorrow. Yeah, rage out with Joe tomorrow. Hey, Joe, we appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
Joining us right here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.